song and in those singing and those playing it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to receive our offering. And what a wonderful atmosphere to give to the Lord in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you. Brethren, you're going to have to do that one again. That's not something you do one time. I'm trying to kind of take it all in today. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful Savior. I want to thank you so much for your giving today. We want to break this holy atmosphere as we focus toward communion. But as we give back to Him of ourselves today, it comes to supporting His work and His ministry. And we thank you so much. If we had a church full of rich people and we had a huge overflow offering today, it would be great to have that. But it wouldn't be appreciated like it is from God or from your minister here today. As it is knowing that you are people just like us who have needs in our life and you choose to give to the work of the Lord because you love Him and you honor Him. And you feel that you're investing in something more stable than anything this old world has to invest in. And that's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And God will not forget you, not only in the world to come, but God promises rewards in this life for those who give. And some of those rewards are monetary and material, but there are parts of that reward that I believe are some things that money just can't buy. Praise God. Amen. Health is one of those things that if you've ever had a health issue, you know how precious health is. And God is the grantor of health and blessing to His people, according to Isaiah chapter 58. In fact, He said, if we deal out our bread to the hungry, we take those that are unclothed and we help to clothe them. And we, in the spiritual sense of that, as well as the physical, we take the gospel to the world that men and women can be clothed with a robe of righteousness. We feed them with the heavenly manna. Praise God. Amen. He said, then thy health shall spring forth speedily. Hallelujah. And I believe that. I believe God is going to bless us with a special anointing for that purpose. But we're coming to you right now for the offering, and we just pray that God will bless you. I've been praying. I've got a walk and pray program going right now. There's sometimes my prayer closet is hard to find, a place that I can go away from any interruption. But I find if I get out and I walk, and particularly if I walk an area that doesn't have distractions, if I just walk, I start praying, and I pray my entire walk, and it's just been good for me to set the clock, get up, and go walking and praying. I know it said watch and pray, but you can walk and pray too. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I walk and pray, and I just pray for every one of you individually, every last one of you, individually and personally, instead of corporately just saying, Lord, bless them. Amen. No, bless him. Bless her. And I call you by name to the Lord because the Lord knows your name too. Can you say amen? He knows exactly who we're talking about. And I ask God to bless you always and in all ways. Amen. To bless you spiritually and to bless you physically and to bless you financially and to bless you emotionally. Praise the Lord. And it's a joy. And then after doing that, I ask the Holy Spirit, now if there's somebody specific, bring them before me. And you say, well, Brother Venable, was it me this week? I'm not even going to tell you who it was. But I believe when you are well into the week and you're going through something and you feel a peace that you didn't know you could achieve, you feel a lift from the Spirit that you didn't earn or get out, I believe you'll know it. I know when people pray for me. Sometimes I thank God. I don't know which ones of you are and when you do it. But sometimes I'm going down and I just feel a whoop coming on. I just feel like praising God out of nowhere. And I said, somebody praying for me because my conditions around me are not provoking me to do this. It's got to be a condition within me. Praise God. And God has been so good. And I find myself praying the whole 2 miles without ceasing and having to stop and say, now what do I pray for next? No, God is always, you ask the Holy Spirit, He's going to bring you. Amen. Just like He brought a man to you. You emailed me sometime back. We're teaching on prayer. He brought a man to you to pray for. And we saw that man take a giant leap forward. The enemy fights, but we saw a result of that praying. Pray. The very guy you asked us to pray for took a step forward. Of course, the devil's going to try to shove everybody back. But the thing is, prayer brought that person forward, and prayer can bring them back again. Can you say amen? God is so good today. Well, this is the offering. Praise God. Amen. Father, bless this offering. Bless the gift and giver in the name of Jesus. Lord, if we had more, we would give more. And you know that, for you see our hearts. So, Lord, we're asking you to bless us so that we can give, Father. Hallelujah. And bless us so that the worry of debt and the worry of bills will not gnaw at us, so that we can be free from that worry and concern. Give our energies, Lord, to the kingdom of God. We ask to be set free from these things, that we can pursue the good things of God in the name of Jesus. And everyone that would be blessed to be a blessing said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you for your giving today as we receive this offering. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk to you just a little while as we get ready for communion, as the clock is moving forward toward 12 and not 1. That clock hasn't been set back, and I thought, my goodness, time has flew this morning. Amen. But it really hasn't that much. Speaking of Jesus as our sacrifice lamb, shedding his blood for our sins, Paul wrote in Romans 3:25, if you want to turn there. I want to just talk just a few minutes about saved from wrath and sealed for heaven. Say that with me this morning. Saved from wrath and sealed for heaven. See, God didn't just save you and kind of leave this open-ended. He saved you, and then immediately He sealed you. I don't know if any of you have ever been around anyone that's canned something. We call it canning stuff. My wife makes the best strawberry preserves. I went down to the strawberry place in Plant City that's famous, and had the president stop there, on their campaign trails during the strawberry festival. They all go to they never upgrade it. It has a character by just leaving it just like it is. And it's Parksdale Farms. And you can get those big strawberry shortcakes made out of fresh strawberries from the strawberry capital of the world. And people come from all over the United States to Parksdale. That little, it's just threw up. I mean, there's nothing fancy, but they come for the atmosphere, and they come to taste those strawberries, and they have their own brand of strawberries. And I tried it when we ran out one season, and I just didn't even care for it. But Pam's Jam, I think we need to market that. I think we need to copyright it. I think we need to put it out there, praise God, somewhere near Parksdale. Because if they ever get a taste of Pam's Jam, it outdoes it. It honestly does. I'm spoiled by it. And when she takes and dips it out of the pressure cooker or whatever it is, it's all cooked in, and puts it in the jars, the mason jars, you can hear when that thing seals in that, you hear a click, 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 click. And you know at that moment, anything from the air getting in and causing it to ruin, amen, is now not going to touch it because it's sealed, praise God, amen. And now it's preserved. It's preserved. It'll keep. You don't have to put it in the fridge, amen. You just put it in the cabinet, and you pull it out and break that seal, and it's as fresh as it was. Well, this sealing is different from that sealing, but it has the same type of result as that sealing. It preserves you blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. It puts you in a place of safekeeping, praise God, where we are kept by the power of God because we keep our faith in God and our faithfulness to God. Can you say amen? So we are saved from wrath, and we are sealed for heaven. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Propitiation. It means to appease someone who is angry. To propitiate means to appease someone who is justifiably angry. If there's something missing today in the proclamation of the gospel, and maybe it's one of the ingredients that is causing the first love to wane, is because we don't hear a lot about what we're saved from. And we hear little about what we're saved to, speaking of heaven. Amen. I said at our pastor's meeting what I say here to the three other ministers. I said, if I ever am able to sit down and write a book, that I wouldn't write it. I'd have to have what they call a ghostwriter, and I'd hire the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Under my pen name, Casper. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I'd hire the Holy Ghost. No, I'd hire somebody, amen, with the Holy Ghost that can interpret what I was saying with the right grammar and the right spelling. Amen. But one chapter of that book would say, whatever happened to heaven? You have to go, I would start it with a sentence that said, if you want to hear a real good sermon on heaven, the homeland of every redeemed person, you almost have to go to a funeral. Because we are so focused on dealing with our responsibilities, the here and now, that we don't think about our homeland very much. It's about my home here. And I like that old gospel song that said, I feel like traveling on. Why did they feel like traveling on? Because my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Amen. A home where flames does not devour or waves overflow. I feel like traveling on. Can you say amen? Praise God. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing that will be. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When I'm headed for that Jubilee. When God is calling us back to an appreciation of what we're saved from and what we're saved to. We've been saved from wrath through Him. We don't have to fear the wrath to come. And the wrath is coming. And you don't even hear about it, but that doesn't change the fact that a judgment day is coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we don't have to sweat that day like the world is going to mourn when they see Him. We're going to rejoice when we see Him. We're going to be so glad when we see Him. We're not going to see eyes of fire, but eyes of love. Can you say amen? We're not going to see, this judgmental atmosphere that falls like a dark cloud upon the earth and His wrath is poured out. We're going to see His mercy, His grace, His joy. It's a mutual thing. When we see Jesus, there'll be joy. When He sees us rising up to meet Him, there's going to be joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Saved from wrath. Sealed for heaven. Sealed for heaven. Praise God. Whom God has set. Oh, I can't get away from the songs of the faith that used to represent that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It just keeps coming back to me how it used to be. Brother Venable, that's because you're old school. That's all. No. No, this is not because I'm almost 65. This is not because I'm old school. This is because the Scriptures have a focus. And they have focuses on our homeland. And the Scriptures are very clear that if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Come on, church. Amen. I beseech you as what? Pilgrims and strangers. People who are just passing through here on the way somewhere else. Amen. Abstain from fleshly lusts that what? That war against your soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible said Abraham had such wealth, he could have built him a mansion that would rival anything anybody had. God made him a wealthy man. But you know what? The Bible said he lived in a tent. I don't mean some rundown old tent from Walmart. Amen. Well, it's not that they're all run down, but you wouldn't want to live too long in that thing. Amen. He had a nice tent. Amen. He was a herdsman. He had a big old herd. He had a nice tent. And people probably wondered why he didn't build some great, great palatial place. And he answered that question. Abraham, even back with his limited revelation, amen, before the Messiah, before such a focus on heaven, the Bible said, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Can you say amen? And they wrote a song about it. Looking for a city where we'll never die. where the sainted millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. Here among the shadows, in this darkened land, we're a band of pilgrims on the move, the verse says. A band of pilgrims on the move. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Where are we headed? We're looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And the New Testament takes that attitude of Abraham with all the wealth that he could imagine. And yet he said, I'm living simply, uncomplicated, because I'm not putting roots down in a world that is passing. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you looking for a city today? Where's your priorities? Where are mine? We get so troubled about so many things. Amen. I believe God wants us to travel light. Listen, having food and raiment, be content. Just be content. You got Jesus. You're on your way to heaven. Praise God. Don't let something impede your progress forward. Don't look at what someone has and say, if I had that, I'd be happy. Amen. Listen, you got to go deeper than just what you see they're driving or you see that they're living in. There's a lot of houses that are not homes. A house without Christ, a house without peace, a house without love. It doesn't matter how beautiful it is. You know what Benny Hinn said? Here's what Benny Hinn said. He said, I take full responsibility for my wife leaving me. That's what he said. He said, I put ministry above my relationship with my family, my wife and my children. He said, I live in a wonderful, and I don't know how many million dollar home. Is it in Malibu? I don't know where it is. He's got this multi-million dollar home. Things we couldn't imagine. Give me $500,000 a day, I'll buy a house that I will never complain about. Would you, $500,000, you think you could find anything to be happy in? You think it might be possible you could, you know, you wouldn't walk in and say, what the dump? Can you say that? You wouldn't do that? Millions of dollars spent on a home. But he said, it's so empty, and I am so lonely. That house then can't take the place of a relationship. Can you say amen? Nothing in this world is more important than our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. Nothing. And without that right relationship with Him and a relationship with each other of love, amen, nothing means anything. We become like the world, ever getting but never having enough. But there was a day when the very least of us materially counted ourselves rich. Amen. And we sung the songs of Zion because we realized this is not where it's all invested. We are a band of pilgrims on the move. And I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers. Amen. Amen. To abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul. Can you say amen? There's a wrath coming. We've been delivered from it. Amen. If God didn't give me anything else, I am so happy. Amen. That I'm not going to stand at that great white throne judgment. Amen. In Revelation chapter 20. I'm so glad that my name today, amen, my name is not on the roll at the country club. My name is not on the roll, amen, at the golf club. My name is not on the roll, amen, at the millionaires club, amen. Hallelujah. But my name is on the roll where it really counts today. Can you say amen? One preacher said, I believe in rock and roll. My feet are on the rock. My name is on the roll. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Pray, in that sense, I do too. Praise God. What does it mean to you to be delivered from the wrath to come? The idea of an angry God in many sections and segments of Christianity has been relegated to paganism. We don't want a God who ever gets angry. Well, I'm sorry, he can't be holy and not be angry at what he sees. Not be angry at what man has made of this beautiful world that he created. Can you say, amen? When he saw that the wickedness of man was great, when the flood came, amen, it compelled him to have to send judgment. A holy God cannot look over man's sinfulness. That's why the gospel is so vitally important to you and me today. I don't care how long you've been saved. You need the joy of your salvation. Amen. To be burning brightly within you. Amen. What he did to save us is so extraordinary. It is beyond and I spend my lifetime trying to tell it. But in all honesty, it's beyond the human tongue's ability to tell. Amen. We will never know fully till we get there what it really meant. Amen. To be saved. Amen. There's no way to explain it. No one's worthy of it. When we get to heaven, we'll understand above everything. Amen. That when we step through that gate into this holy place, it won't be the riches of it that blows us away, but the purity and the holiness of God. And we step into that place, the holiest of places, with the holiest of persons. And we have a passing sense. Boy, even I don't belong here in myself. There's nothing in me that has earned this. I'm not good enough, pure enough, holy enough for this. But that will be a fleeting thing, because we'll see the one with nail scars. And we'll know we're not there because we earned it or we're worthy of it. We're there because the price was paid. God's wrath was propitiated because of his sacrifice on the cross. He took the punishment. He took the pain so that we could go free. And then there'll be a realization that will last throughout eternity. Won't we get tired after 10,000 years giving him praise? Won't it be a given that we're there? We'll take it all for granted. No, the very fact that we know we don't belong there, but we are there because of what he did on the cross, is going to stimulate praise throughout all eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Knowing you don't belong there is going to make it better. Because you know he's accepted you because of what he did. And it's going to make you thankful every day to get up in heaven and say, oh. 10,000 years after you get there, you're going to say, Mike, pinch me. I'm really here. And you're really here. A dinner made it. Glory to God. Ain't God good? Isn't grace wonderful? No, I'm just kidding, dinner. I'm going in the same way you're going in. Your access to heaven. Come on, Ditter's not going to make it, you know, back in the back row somewhere. There is no back row. Hallelujah. Oh, the cross is the great equalizer. That's where the rich and poor, amen, lose their status. Amen. The great and the small, the powerful and the insignificant seeming people of, oh, but when we get to the cross, amen, all of that, the ground is leveled. There's prejudice today if you're black still. There's prejudice some places if you're white. Can you say amen? It can work both ways. But the biggest prejudices out there is the cultural prejudices of the rich and the poor. And the middle class is now being eliminated in America. And you're falling into the category you're either poor or you're rich. And the middle class is kind of being absorbed into one or the other. Amen. And believe me, if you get around rich people that are pride, you have proud with it, amen, you're in a whole different world with them. They look at you differently. They look at the car you drive, the shoes you wear. They look at the label on your clothing. They look at the inscription on your watch. Can you say amen? And everybody sports their stuff. And if you don't fit in, unless you drive a certain car, you have a certain level of education, you wear a certain. This is where I disagree with one of the mega church pastors that said we have satellite churches so people can fellowship. And what we do, we try to get the professional people together because they have something in common. And then we try to get and I disagree with that personally because of what Jesus taught and what the kingdom is all about. And we try to get, you know, the plumbers and the electricians, and we get them together. Amen. Because they're in that slot in the culture because they can relate to one another. You know what that means? That means that the doctor and the lawyer can maintain their status and meet with people that are in their status group. Amen. But that means that the plumber isn't welcome there. The electrician isn't welcome there. And I suppose the sanitation expert, i.e. garbage collector, is not welcome there. Can you say amen? So that means that people, it's supposed to produce fellowship, because people that have this commonality of their cultural status, then they are going to be, and I don't believe that. I don't believe it, because Jesus said, if anybody comes into your assembly and they're well dressed, like this man here, see where we put him? Can you say amen? We put him right up front. You've been to those churches? They sit you to the back just because you were not part of the clique. All right, well, see, we done opened up this big old can of worms. Can you say amen? Amen. Right in Lakeland. Now we're getting close. We're naming names. What do you do after you name names? You kick. Let's don't even go there. But it happened. What we're saying is there are people that have experienced that. Amen. And you sit back here, and we take the person can't sit dressed very well, amen, we put them in the back, and we value people for what they have instead of who they are. But God doesn't do that in His kingdom. Ah, He said in Jesus Christ, there's no bond man, there's no free man, there's no rich man, there's no poor man. Praise God. Yes, there's a man and woman role in the home, but at the foot of the cross, there's no male. And there's no female, there's no Jew, and there's no Greek. If you come to Christ, we are one in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! We're one in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. If the president, regardless of your politics, the president is the president, and we are to pray for kings and those that are in authority, because he's sitting in that seat. And there is a respect for that seat, even if you disagree with it, his politics. And listen, I disagree with all of them. I wouldn't be a good Democrat or Republican. I wouldn't be a good independent or Tea Party. I don't see anybody out there that can save us. I don't think there's one. Oh, yes, we should have certain ones that will lead us toward righteousness, because that will put us in the position for God to bless America again. But as far as a Savior out there that's just going to come in this big old mess and undo it, nobody's out there. Everybody promises. It's called promises. That's what politicians do. They promise. But when they get in, they find out it's not as easy to keep that promise. Ah, but there's a promise keeper that when he makes a promise, he keeps his promise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Even to 1,000 generations. Praise God. And if he promises to curse a nation, amen, that rebels against him, you can take it to the bank. Nobody's going to deliver us from the curse. But if he promises to bless us, you can take it to the bank. Nobody can curse what God has blessed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, God in heaven, how we need a Holy Ghost revival. Amen. In the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Where heaven is sweet, hell is hot, and we're glad that we're saved. Amen. And we're glad that we're sealed unto the day of redemption. What have you been saved from? What did the blood of Jesus propitiate? Jesus said his blood was to appease God's anger. Paul spoke of Jesus as the one who had turned aside his wrath, taken away sin at the heart. That's what propitiation is. To propitiate is to turn aside, or to appease, or to pacify someone's wrath. A king found some treasonous act in one of his subjects, a young man. He had been lured in by others, and he did something he was ashamed of and sorry for. But the judgment on what he did was death by hanging. He said at 6 a.m. he will be taken to the gallows. He will be hanged into dead. And there was a bell tower in the church. Huge, beautiful church. There was a bell tower. And when that bell rung 6 times, the hanging would take place. His young wife, who knew him and knew this is not his nature. This he's been lured into something, and he's so sorry. He's a good man at heart. Death is so severe. She went up to the bell tower, 6:15. She embraced that bell, so that when that bell swung to ring, before the clapper could hit the bell, her body cushioned the bell against the stone wall. Boom! No ring, but ribs are cracking. Breath is being knocked out of her. She's embracing that bell, taking that lick after lick after lick. And the king asks, why is the bell not ringing? And he sends servants, and they find a woman crumpled in the corner. After 6 times, her body took the brunt of that huge brass bell or metal bell against the wall, the brick wall, to keep the clapper. It had to swing all the way for the clapper to hit the other side. And it couldn't swing because her body was taking the blow. 6 times, she held on to the last blow and crumpled to the corner of the room, broken up on the inside. And when the king heard what she had done to try to save her husband, amen, he said, there must be something in that man worth saving. There must be some value here. Maybe we were rash to give him the death sentence. He's so young and impressionable. He seems so sorry. And such an extent has went to save him that the king had mercy on the man. The problem is the internal bleeding, the crushed bones, the punctured lung from crushed ribs, where that body was buffeted against that wall. In just a little while, she gasped her last breath. And both a king and a husband, amen, had an appreciation for a love that would give itself to appease wrath. Can you say amen? Honey, I want you to know we deserve judgment. The wrath of God is upon everyone who believes not, because God is in fact holy. Amen. And a holy God is obligated to judge sin. And God said, how can I save these people? Amen. From their self and from their sin. I'm obligated by my holiness and my justice to judge sin. And they've all sinned. What a plan God came up with. I'll send my son. I'll punish him. I will pour all of my wrath against all of their sins upon him. Isaiah 53 said, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, every one of us. And God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That means he's attributed to him. He put to his account our sin and our iniquity. And he put to our account his innocence and his righteousness. And I'm going to tell you something today. You do not deserve his innocence. You did not deserve his righteousness. Paul said, in being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. In other words, the only way I could be righteous is keep the law perfectly. I can't do it. Amen. But I can be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My sins have been judged in him. My sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. My sins have been cast away from me as far as the east is from the west, because God's wrath has been propitiated. Hallelujah. Jesus took the punishment. Hallelujah. And the chastisement of my peace was on him. I can lay my head down at night. Amen. And know if I die tonight, I will not face the wrath of God, because the wrath has been appeased because Jesus took it at the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if the church ever starts shouting again because Jesus took it at the cross, we'll have a Holy Ghost revival in the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And heaven will be sweet. And we'll be so glad we're saved. We will never look enviously at anyone else for having Jesus in food and raiment. All we need to get through this pilgrimage down here, we will find contentment. Can you say amen? And the world will wonder at us, because they'll look at us and say, they're not as rich as we, as powerful as we, as influential as we. but they're happier than we are. They're more peaceful than we are. I thought a promotion would bring me peace. I'm now the CEO. I'm worth millions. Benny Hinn lives in a multi-million dollar home. But he's lonely. Because that was really important is not there in that house. And without the people we love and the God we love, there's an emptiness that settles in. There's a depression with silver and gold all around you. The lie, amen, the deceitfulness of riches. You know what the deceitfulness of riches is? The Bible warns us about the deceitfulness of it. And everybody needs money. I need money. You need money. We need money to live. But we don't need opulence. We don't need to believe that money in and of itself is going to satisfy the deep longings of our soul. It cannot. It never has. It's called the deceitfulness of riches. It's part of what chokes the word. Because you know what it does? It causes us to go after the things we think we need to be happy at the expense of our soul prospering. When your soul prospers, heaven gets real sweet. When your soul prospers, you quit envying anybody else. And you say, boy, I'm glad I'm me. I don't know how it is with that guy in that Mercedes, but I know how it is with my soul. Can you say, man, I'm saved. I'm saved from wrath, and I'm sealed for heaven. Praise God. Isn't God good today? Praise the Lord. I love Him so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like what one writer said. He's a scholar, a respectable scholar. He said, but we have to understand this rightly because the anger or wrath of God is often misunderstood. Many think of God as some sort of peeved deity, kind of cosmic, terrible, tempered being who indulges in violent, uncontrolled displays of temper when human beings do not do what they ought to. But God does not fly off the handle at the most trivial aggravation. Still less does He lose His temper for no apparent reason at all. God is never malicious, spiteful, or vindictive. His anger is never mysterious nor irrational. It's never unpredictable, but always predictable. The fact is, it is sin and evil that arouses the wrath of God. God is angry with sin and evil in all of its forms and manifestations. Jonathan Edwards preached in the 1700s. And a message that caused tens of thousands to come to Christ. The title of the message was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Why did they run to altars? Why didn't they say, I don't want this fire and brimstone message? Because they knew somebody loved them enough to tell them that the only way to escape the justifiable anger of God called wrath is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said when they ran to the altars, they ran as if the flames of hell were licking at their heels. They were afraid they might draw their last breath before they prayed that prayer and applied that blood. They were not filled with pride. They were filled with humility and appreciation. Thank you, Jesus, for a fire escape. Thank you for a way out. Hallelujah. Thank you for the sacrifice that brought it. Jonathan Edwards uses the picture of a spider hanging by one of its silver threads. Underneath is a fire. At any moment, a spark or the heat could sever the thread and the spider could end up falling into the flames. And he said, you and I, dear people, are hanging by a thread if you don't know Christ. We are dangling above the flames of hell. At any moment, the thread could break and we could end up falling into hell's eternal flame. Was he right? Is that Bible? But did you know you're not supposed to preach that kind of gospel anymore? Even though the sinner is headed there, you're not supposed to tell him in those graphic terms. You're supposed to soften it down. You're not even supposed to mention hell at all. Honey, the church will not know revival until we understand the awful plight of the sinner. Paul said, there's more motivating me than getting more people in the building, getting our building fund met, amen, getting a symbol, a structure of steeple stone and stained glass, a symbol of our success. He said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Can you say amen? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Can you say amen? Robert G. Lee won tens of thousands to Jesus Christ, and he had a sermon, an evangelistic sermon that he preached over and over again, and it was payday someday. Payday someday. And it meant you can go your whole lifetime and maybe not feel like God has noticed their sin, but there's a day coming. And there's a payday someday. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, Brother Venable, you're getting close to that old fire and brimstone stuff. Honey, I did not coin the phrase fire and brimstone. Jesus, your master, your Lord, and our King, he's the one that talked about that place. He's the one that told us what it sounds like. The weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth. God hears those sounds. God loves this fallen world. God wants to shake the sinner and bring them to salvation. He doesn't want to soothe the sinner into a devil's hell. People think that's some kind of Pentecostal doctrine, fundamentalist from way back. That's Jesus talking. He knows the sounds of hopeless souls, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. And he says, go tell them. Turn them, Paul. Turn them from Satan unto God, from the power of darkness to light. Turn them. Turn them. Tell them. Do it in love, but for heaven's sakes, tell them. It's true in history of the... I've told you this many times, but I can read it detail, but of the man scheduled to die on the gallows back, I guess, at the turn of the century, 1800s in England. A minister dressed in ministerial vestments came to do what he did as a duty and job, to offer his last rites to him and ask him if he would let him offer him whatever. And this man sitting in here feeling the deadness of religion and seeing the lack of compassion in the eyes of the person that's going to give him this ticket to whatever he needs to get out of this world into the next, and he doesn't believe that the man believes in what the Bible teaches, and he refused to let the man do anything, scheduled to hang, and the man tells him, "Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to escape hell?" And he stopped on that hell issue, and he said this, and this is historically true. He said, if I believed, as you say you do, that there is a hell where a person is punished forever if they don't repent, if I believed that, as you say you do, he said, I would walk across the whole of England. If the whole of England was crushed glass, I would walk across it on my knees to keep one man from going there. What he was saying was, and as a disbeliever and an unbeliever, the messenger saying, if you believed it, the message you're wanting to sell me, the message you're wanting to convince me of, if I believe that, I would dedicate my whole life. My life would be filled with passion and compassion, not dead, ritualistic religion, materialistic, with no concern about a soul, tearless preachers living in opulence, never weeping over one soul, looking at everybody as a merchandising asset to their ministry. They don't even care if you're saved or not, as long as you send the check, they promise God's choice blessing. They don't care if you're an adulterer or a fornicator. Send the check. God's going to open heaven on you. They don't deal with issues of the heart because they don't care for your soul. Brother Bimble, I'd be afraid to say that I'm not because I'm not afraid to say that. If a man cares for your soul, he'll tell you the whole truth, not just a part of it. Amen. To make money from you. Oh, don't get me started. Listen to me. The people that are repackaging and selling what Jesus paid for on that cross, putting a price on what he died on the cross to give. Can you say, man, I wouldn't want to stand in their shoes. The Lord reward them according to their works. I wouldn't want to stand in their shoes. Can you say, man, hallelujah, there is no charge. Remember that song about the unappreciation of a child that Shirley Caesar sang? Hey, man, ask the kid to help clean up. The kid says, what all kids say? You know, I'm going to tell you something. If you lock them out of the house in the winter in the backyard and don't give them nothing to eat for 3 days, they might appreciate that roof over their head. I'm not saying you do that. Don't call child services on me. Come on. I wouldn't do that to my kids. But you understand. Sometimes you feel like maybe after 3 days out there with the doggy, can you say, man? And so the kid is asking for, give me some money and I'll do it. And she starts singing this story song telling about all the sacrifices she made for all the ironing and cooking and cleaning and ministering to you when you're sick, no charge. You know, and you go down that whole song, but then the kid is supposed to be wilted saying, oh, mommy, I love you. I'll do anything for you. But they don't know our children, do they? No. It just that I wish it would work. I wish it was that simple. We'd buy a tape of that and send it to every family. Play that for your kids, and you'll have a wonderful family. No, but the Church of Jesus needs to understand, amen, that what Jesus did on the cross, there is no charge. Freely you've received, freely give. I believe in the law of sowing and reaping. That you sow liberally, you reap liberally. But I'm not talking, this is not about that. This is about when someone needs healing, you don't talk about money in relation to it, because it's by his stripes. Can you say, man, at the gate beautiful, amen, all that mighty healing that took place? They're walking to church. Peter and John are walking along, and a man sits begging, and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but if you'll write me a check, God will heal you. Can you say, man? Come on, if you'll seed into my ministry, God will heal you. No, God healed. The price for that man's healing was paid tetelestai. It was paid in full at Mount Calvary. Go and preach the gospel and heal the sick. If there be any sick among you, let them write a big check. No, let them call the elder. See, the price is paid. Can you say, man, let them... Oh, come on. Listen, Dale, if I send you a gift and Sherry beats you to come, is coming outside when the UPS comes, and Sherry grabs that... Sherry's not here to defend herself. I can really lay it on her. Amen. Amen. And Sherry intercepts that gift. And says, oh, look at this. I know what this is. This is one of those fancy coffee machines. This is a Keurig. Oh, my goodness, and all those coffees are in here. This costs $169. Man, this is nice. Oh, my goodness, somebody wants my mama to have this gift. Wow. Let's see now. Mom, there's a gift out here for you. For $50, I'll give it to you. No, honey. No, I paid for that gift. I paid for it in full so Dale could have it free of charge, no charge. You can't repackage and sell what the blood of Jesus has purchased and begin to put a price on it. You know why? Because it can't be bought. If you were a billionaire and you wrote a $1 million check, you couldn't buy a drop of the blood that was shed on that cross. Can you say, man, for you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Hell, come on, this is beyond that realm. Oh, come on, church. God, oh, honey, amen, you were not ransomed, amen, with silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious, priceless blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And when that blood sprinkled the mercy seat, my salvation was made available. My healing was made available. My help from God was made available. Can you say amen? So freely you receive, freely give. Let us support the gospel so the world can hear about Jesus. Let's don't ask Him for nothing but to listen and receive the gift. Amen. You can't buy it because it can't be bought. It ain't for sale. Woo! Hallelujah! It ain't for sale. Our brother so-and-so's got this big following. Of course, he's promising them that they'll be rich as him. As far as I'm concerned, he's poor, miserable, blind, and naked, because he's associating the material at the expense of the spiritual wealth of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say, man? So at the gate beautiful, what do? They're walking along. They see a man that's never walked. And they say, if you'll make it, I'm going to church right now. And I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you will make a large and generous donation to my ministry, God will heal you. No. They said, you know something? Silver and gold, we don't have to give you today. See, God made a way for them. He said, silver and gold have I none. I have none. But such as I have, I give you. I give you. God sent me, and God has a gift for you. Amen. First His Son and His salvation. Amen. I have a gift for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Rise up and walk. And taking him by the wrist and lifting him up immediately, his feet and ankle bones became strong. And it was a double miracle, because it said he had never walked from his mother's womb. Amen. So not only did God give him the strength to walk, He taught him how to walk, because he had never walked. If you had the strength to walk and didn't know how to walk, can you say, man, you'd be falling on your face like a baby taking his first steps. But God did a double miracle. He strengthened his ankle bones and gave him the equilibrium and the knowledge how to step in cadence and walk. And in fact, he gave him such a healing in that respect that he went into the temple saying, oh, God has strengthened me, but I got to learn to do this. No, he went into the temple running, leaping, and praising God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And it began to impact that world of that time when people became healed as that gift flowed freely. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Go and preach the gospel and heal the sick. Cast out devils. Praise God. And tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you every time these events are happening. Show them another kingdom with another value system. Hallelujah, with a great and gracious God. Amen? You can't buy. There's not a scripture in the Bible that says you can buy what He purchased and told us to give away. It's not for sale. For everyone that gives $1,000, there's something. One guy said about $1,000 that God just triples the blessing on. Oh, yeah. Well, let's go back to the Bible. One lady had 2 pence, but it was all she had. And out of her penury, her own need, she gave those 2 pence. Jesus had been standing at the temple watching everybody give, never said a word. Big businessman come in. He wrote a big old check, wrote it off, and got it back from the IRS. Didn't cost him a dime. Somebody else wrote a check, didn't get it back from the IRS, amen, but he had so much, nothing changed in his lifestyle. There's no sacrifice in it whatsoever. It was a big old check, there's no sacrifice there. But when this little woman sacrificed and gave, Jesus stood up, walked over, and stopped the whole procession of giving in the temple and said, this woman, amen, today has given more than anybody here. For out of her own need, she has given the best gift she could. She's given her all. Amen. And she said, this woman's deeds will be spoken of. Amen. Come on. And here we are, over 2,000 years later. Can you save it? Long after these preachers and their riches have vanished, this little woman is going to be talked about. Can you say amen? Come on. All the pride and pomp and a man is going to be brought low, but this humble little woman is still exalted. Can you say amen? There was a man that gave to the poor. His name is Cornelius. He gave alms to the poor. He went, oh, they say give it to the blessed ground is the one who's got it, because you can see I'm blessed. And if you want to be blessed, give it to, in other words, give to the rich. Make the rich richer. That's what the kingdom's all about. Give to the rich man if you want to be rich, man. Can you say amen? There's a guy that he said, tell it, money, come to me. You know it. Money, come to me. Money. I got the video. I'll show you if you don't believe it. He's on TV, honey. Money, come to me. No, thy kingdom come. That will be done. Why? Because if the kingdom is first, he's going to take care of your material needs. If the kingdom is first, he's going to see to it. Having food and raiment, you'll find great contentment and true riches. You won't have to be doing like the world. Money, come to me. Yeah, holy brother Leroy, my man. Man with a plan. He said, if you want your family to serve God, buy them a Mercedes. Buy your kids a Mercedes. If you want the world to come to Jesus, give them something they need. Give them money. Promise them wealth. That's how you evangelize the world. Then they brought it by the bushel loads, three steps up to the pulpit, and this whole thing, I mean this wide church, and these steps go up, and they just fill it with money. And then he goes walking through the money to bless it. He's running through the money. Going to bless it. And I'm looking at that and saying, Dear Lord in heaven, once you start veering from the gospel, veering from the cross, this is how far it goes. And honey, it ain't done yet. It's still going and going and going. There are people set under my ministry that hooked up with these guys, and it ruined them. They're ruined. I see them today, and they're all they got to show is their stuff. They don't have humility. They don't have real peace. They have a hologram projected image. I can tell. If you're too spiritual, you got something to hide. Can you say, man? Come on, if you're just all that spiritual, oh, me and God got it all together, I'm full of revelations and power. You're full, all right, but in revelation and power. Can you say, man, you're full of yourself. Get that other word out of your mind. Can you say, man, full of yourself. Is it okay? Yourself. Both of them start with an S, but it's self. Can you say, man, self we're talking about. Amen? They're full of self. Lovers of their own self. Promoters of their own self. They've lost the humility, the thanksgiving. Can you say amen? But God wants the church to get it back. Thank God I'm saved from the wrath to come, because that wrath has been propitiated. This angry God is not angry at me anymore. Not because I haven't sinned, but because he's been punished in my place and God has given me mercy. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise today. Wow, give God praise up in here. Hallelujah. When the church rejoices because we are saved, it's going to make a difference. When the church rejoices because we have escaped the wrath to come, you're not going to complain about all these things. You're not going to compare. Hallelujah. My dad and I went to a church in closing, and we were invited to preach somewhere up near Zephyr Hills. And we went to a church that's getting ready to close the doors, and they asked me to come. Pastor was done with it. The people were done with him. He was done with them. They were done with each other. They didn't even want to try to get another pastor. They just wanted to lock the door and forget the whole thing. I didn't know that when I went there to preach, so I went in. And you know, when I shook hands with the people who greeted me, it was like someone had a fish in their hand. An old dead fish had been out of the water for about 2 hours and handed me the fish instead of their hand. It was just a cold, clammy handshake. Just, you know, it was like, I don't know, it was bad. And then we got up, and I had a little silver tone amplifier. I remember my suit that night. I'll never forget it. It was a pretty suit that we got somewhere. I forget. It wasn't money we paid for it, though. But it's a pretty suit. It matched so good. The coat fit really good. But I had to remind myself, don't start sweating and get excited. Take off that coat. because we were in a hurry. Pam had no sewing machine. So that suit, you know, if I pulled it up here, then it would be okay. But if I wore it where I wear it, then it hung down to here. So what you do, you just take about that much off that bad boy, the loops and all. Just cut it off, right level with the pocket where they start. And then you pull it up where it needs to be and put a belt around it and cinch it real good and tight. Only thing is, it looks awful crazy under that suit. So you have to keep your coat on. So I had my coat on. Had a little silver tone amplifier sitting there. It had about an 8-foot cord with a little Radio Shack microphone. And my dad had his fiddle. Here we were, evangelists for Jesus. Big time. Amen. Just don't open your coat. And so I prayed, God give me the message. I sang a song, and my dad played second, first on the guitar, and then he picked up his fiddle and played a tune. And anyway, I remember the song. I'll never forget it. I guess we should pity the man in this world who uses the earth for his bed. And it goes on about the conditions that we can get in materially, but then it said, but the real rich man is not the man in that penthouse if he doesn't own the pearl of great price. Pity that man. Don't pity this man that knows Christ at his least. Pity that man at his best that doesn't understand, appreciate, and appropriate the kingdom of God. Because that man is the poor man. He's headed for eternity without God. This man here, and I felt so rich that night. I didn't feel bad about what was under my coat. I just knew, just keep it buttoned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I didn't feel bad about that little old silver tone amplifier about that big that you couldn't hardly hear, and you turn it up too loud and it buzzes. And I just felt God in that place. At the end of that service, people came to altars. You know why? Because they got an appreciation for being saved. It transcended the problems and the discouragements. They got out of a simple preacher and a simple message. They got the truth. Amen. That Jesus has done something so wonderful. He's worth serving with everything we are, with everything that we have. Can you say, man, we don't compete, we don't compare. We got food and raiment, and we're content, and we've got praise for God. That's the message. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. And that means to mark for one's own. It is literally like branding a cattle so that when they mingle with the other cattle and they get mixed up, you can walk out in there and look at that mark and say, that's mine. He's in the midst of all these others, but he ain't like them. That's mine. This guy, that's mine. He's not just saved from wrath, he's sealed for heaven. Can you say, man, unto the day of redemption, praise God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that when God comes to take up his jewels, then you will know that God does make a difference between the righteous and the wicked. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want to be counted in that righteous group. And I believe God's going to bless us financially because we need help. All of us need help. Amen. And I believe God's going to do it because of what Jesus did for us at the cross. And I believe we're going to give not just to get. We'll give knowing God blesses giving. But our initial reason for giving is not to get. Our initial reason for giving is because of what we've got in Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I love Him. And I'm going to give to Him whether there's any financial blessing with it. Because of what He's done for me at Calvary, praise God. But He said, you can't give that way. If you give that way, I'm bound to bless it. Cornelius gave alms to the poor and his almsgiving. Giving to the poor and his almsgiving came up as a memorial before God. God said, I got to get a blessing to that man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you know what He blessed him with initially? It wasn't money back initially. You know what it was? He told Peter, go over there and tell him about the gospel and tell him about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Went over there and while Peter preached Jesus to him, amen, the Holy Ghost fell on him and his whole household and his servants. Hallelujah. Wow. What a gospel. What a God that we serve. Praise the Lord. it's time for communion. I haven't really got past the first page, but I don't need to. Hallelujah. God is so good today. You've been saved from wrath. You've been sealed for heaven. Thank Him every single day of your life. And let's remember what it cost to save us today. Did I give you? I did. Praise God. Would you serve us communion? Praise the Lord. My wife, by the way, is dog sitting. We took on the responsibility of a little dog over the weekend that we couldn't leave with our other dog. Jealousy. God is good. Praise the Lord. Let's praise Him and prepare our hearts.